This show is sponsored by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, last week, Chris O'Brien was not here. He was on special assignment. In fact, one of our listeners posted a message in the forum complimenting us on the show we did with James Renner, the book It Came From Ohio, and remarking how quiet Chris was. I mean, you were silent as a mouse.
Yeah, oh yeah, I definitely was. Unfortunately, I was traveling when we did the taping, so that kind of left me out of the loop. Gene, sorry I wasn't there, but I hear it was a good show and good job.
I think we had a lot of fun with it. And I was especially interested in how far we took the story of Dale Spar, the police officer who back in the 1960s, he and a fellow officer chased a UFO from Ohio to Pennsylvania. And this is, of course, featured in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And his life was completely ruined after that.
Yeah. It's toxic. It kind of sticks to you once you latch onto it.
I tell you, it does. Even discussions, having sane discussions on UFOs can be difficult. And I can give you examples of that. I don't know if I want to or not. But we had quite a debate here with regard to the recent appearance of Ted Rowe from NARCAP on the show. And NARCAP is a very straight-laced organization investigating unidentified aerial phenomena. They do not call it UFOs. And I understand the point there because the word, the label, UFO, is toxic. And thus, they're trying to divorce themselves from the baggage of that term.
No.
But one of our forum members, who will go unmentioned, was really racking on him to a point where he's even reluctant to even come back on the show, which is unfortunate.
He's just badgering him. It's like this whole game of semantics with some of our posters, Randall in particular, gets a little old. I mean, it's pretty rare that we have a guest that's willing to, you know, follow up their appearance on the show and entertain questions and answer questions and, you know, post comments about their thinking about, in this case, Ted Rowe's involvement with NARCAP. And, you know, you have to give the guy some slack here, I think, and really not get into a debate over simple terminology and just minutia. I think it's important for us to attract guests to the forum, not scare them away or badger them.
You know, part of it is here that when people participate in forums, and it gives a person a measure of anonymity, even if you know their real name, and they feel that they can say things they will not say in a public surrounding. But this is private because it's between them and the computer. They don't realize that when you post a message online in someone's forum, in a blog, hundreds, thousands, millions of people may read what you have to say. I think you see situations, for example, where criminals post what they're doing in Facebook and wonder why the police caught them.
Well, I mean, come on. That's about as stupid as you can get. I mean, can you spell idiot?
But I think the key here is the awareness of what you're doing and taking advantage of the so-called privacy to basically become another person. I mean, I've known people who have been really nasty in the forums, but you talk to them on the phone or something, and they're very nice. I won't mention one particular person who did a lot of snide personal attacks against me and has done it with Chris, and he's no longer in the forums, therefore he isn't mentioned. But the key is here, if you talk to the guy on the phone, he's really a pleasant guy, pleasant gentleman.
No, pussycat.
Real pussycat. But as soon as he gets into the forums, it's like he becomes Mr. Hyde.
No.
There's something about being in a forum where your inner hate Is that what it is?
Well, I think a good word would be emboldened.
Is that part of the online world that's the bad part? I know in the UFO field there's no difference because people were debating and yelling at each other with personal letters, with newsletters. They'd attack each other. So now they simply take it online. So all that flame, all that vitriol becomes an online phenomenon, but it's already been here.
Well, that kind of brings to mind an interesting conundrum that the UFO field might have to endure here, and that is the loss of Jim Moseley and Saucer Smear. We need a new Saucer Smear. We need a UFO Tattler so people can get their yah-yahs out for their own particular audience, and we can take the high ground for discussions on shows like this where we're attempting to educate people and attract interest in a field that's dying on the vine. And I think getting caught up in the definition of terminology and, well, you said this, which means this, I said this, which means that, this tit-for-tat thing just doesn't work. It doesn't, it's not fruitful for, you know, expansive dialogue, for sharing points of view, for educating people. You know, Ted Rowe is you know, doing a thankless job, along with quite a number of other people over at NARCAP, and I think we need to acknowledge the job that they're doing and get past our little pet peeves about how certain terms are used. I don't care if it's UAP, AAO, UFO. Actually, I do care. If it's UFO, it's toxic. It turns people off who are not directly involved in this phenomenon. And to be an apologist or somehow an unelected representative for a particular term is, I think, a little presumptuous. And, you know, we need to get beyond that. We need to establish commonality, grounds that we can all agree on and move forward instead of all this getting caught up in minutia stuff, Gene. It's not productive.
I know the personalities always reign supreme. Like, if you look up my name and you look up the nasty stuff, people say all sorts of horrible things about me. They say horrible things about, of course, Chris. About me, there's a matter of fact.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Time out. Go ahead. Find nasty stuff that people say about me online. And a pristine level of credibility and level of, how would I put this, respect.
Well, you know what? I think the one about you speaking with marbles in your mouth or chewing tobacco or something, I don't know, that was pretty crazy. But here's the thing. There's also a photograph of me that somebody made a composite in Photoshop, and they did something to my face that I can't even conceive, and they put a suit on me. Now, as Chris knows, I never wear a suit. So somebody felt that they can attack me more if they have me wearing a suit. So I don't know. Maybe they watch that TV show Suits too often. Oh, well. Let's try talk sense here. But maybe one thing we could consider here is maybe on the PowerCast we should consider not using UFOs, but then we'd have to educate every guest who wants to use that term. So maybe that doesn't work. I don't know. Speaking of UFOs, we're back to UFOs this week. And we have Kevin Randall, who's a longtime UFO investigator focused on Roswell and a lot of other cases. In fact, on his blog, he writes about MJ-12 this week. I'm going to ask him about that. But he has a new book out called The Government UFO Files, The Conspiracy of Cover-Up. Oh, yeah?
This will be fun.
Now, things have changed in our world from the way it used to be. And that is, at one time, we actually believed the government maybe knew what they were doing, and they were competent, even if they were maybe keeping UFO information a secret. But now we see the government is totally incompetent. You know, we look at the controversy over, for example, the VA. And, of course, Kevin is a veteran, so certainly he has lots of insights into that. And we wonder here, this is what I wonder, if the government's so incompetent, how do they keep the secret of UFOs a secret for over 60 years? Lots of questions to ask. The Government UFO Files is the book. Kevin Randall's the author. with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929.
This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237. 6-2237, extension 129.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids.
I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganix. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terriganix.com, spelled Terriganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terriganix. Life's getting better.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I'm very happy to introduce an old friend back again with his latest book. Boy, he just keeps turning them out. You know, not as many as Nick Redfern, or actually totally maybe he's written more over the years, but his latest, Kevin Randall's book, is The Government UFO Files, The Conspiracy of Cover-Up. And before we go on, let me just ask you a question, Kevin. More and more now we're seeing how incompetent the government is, and As a veteran, you understand this with the VA and all the problems in terms of health care for veterans. So when we look at the problems they're having, how can we expect the government to be able to keep a secret about UFO reality for over 60 years?
But they haven't kept a secret. We keep talking about it. We keep finding documents. And just to plug the book, the whole premise is I was able to find lots of documentation that leads us from the Foo Fighters to the ghost rockets to the flying discs of 1947 to comments made by government officials about UFOs in the 1950s. There's a thread that connects it all together, and I was able to find it through government files and government documents, so the secret hasn't been kept. We just haven't put it all together, or the topic itself is now considered part of the lunatic fringe, no matter how serious you might be, and so you can't get the legitimate journalistic community take a look at what you're doing because they're too smart to believe in alien visitation.
So they succeed by being incompetent.
Or in some cases, extremely competent by seeming incompetent.
Exactly.
I remember in the 1970s hearing about how incompetent the CIA was, and I got to thinking, what a brilliant cover for them. Everybody thinks they're a bunch of bungling idiots, and that is the kind of cover you'd want for a spy agency because nobody's going to take you seriously, and you can do all kinds of stuff that way. So
yeah,
I think part of the incompetence may be a clever ruse to keep us looking elsewhere.
Yeah, and their new term for us now is the black helicopter crowd. I'm sure you appreciate that one.
And there's no evidence of the black helicopters. You know, I remember a woman saying that the black helicopters hovered over her house all the time, and she showed us pictures of them. And you see helicopters silhouetted against the sun, so they looked very dark. But you could see color. They weren't black helicopters, and it turned out there was a heliport like 3 miles from her house. So they weren't circling her looking for something. They were landing at the heliport.
So they were dark gray helicopters.
Or dark green helicopters, or maybe bright white ones silhouetted against the sun so they look dark.
Yeah, any helicopter against the, if you're underneath it looking up against the blue sky, is going to appear silhouetted and dark.
Yeah. As a helicopter pilot, I understand how helicopters work and the missions they have and all of that sort of thing. So, and I know that you can hover at great altitudes in a helicopter if you so desire, but you have to be careful. But it's all, I think a lot of that comes from misperceptions and misidentifications, but it plays into a conspiracy that some people want to believe in. And once you play into that conspiracy, you get a lot of followers.
Well, you know, since we're on the subject of helicopters and you're being a helicopter pilot, you're a perfect person, I think, to ask this question of. I remember back in the late 90s, a McDonnell Douglas commercial that featured a silent helicopter. And it was very well done. I mean, obviously, with video technology, you can suggest and kind of create any sort of scenario. But where do you come down on noise cancellation technology? I mean, what is the state of the art for silent helicopter technology?
There are some problems that you have, and it's the same thing you have with jet aircraft. The rotor blades are basically spinning very, very fast and can break the sound barrier. That creates sound. And as you're flying along, we used to do that. If we were flying over a city where we knew somebody would be looking up at us, you know, friends or family, we could make the blades pop. So that you know would call additional attention to us by loading up the blades and descending quickly, or all kinds of things we could do is make the blades pop. So you've got to cancel out the noise of the engine. You've got to cancel out the noise of the blades. And our technologies probably allow us to do a great deal of that sort of thing. So they're a lot quieter than they used to be. But most of the helicopters out flying around today wouldn't have that technology, and that would be a technology you'd want to use on covert missions and things like that, so the bad guys can't hear you coming. And that was one of the reasons in Vietnam we would fly at treetop level, because by the time the sound reached the bad guys, we'd already overflown them because we were so darn low and moving so fast. So there's all kinds of things going on there, but I you know, the technology for sound cancellation, we keep improving that so things get quieter and quieter, but there's the technology is still used very, very sparingly on, I would think, black operations and that sort of thing.
Yeah. It's going to be very difficult to cancel out prop noise. The sound of almost a hypersonic blade slicing through the air is going to create a sound.
Yes, yes.
Regardless of the sound, and maybe it's overlooked, do we find situations frequently where people misidentify helicopters as possible UFOs?
Well, if we believe the Air Force, yes, we do. And I think specifically of the Loring Air Force Base cases, which coincidentally is covered in the book. But the Air Force decided, because some of the witnesses on the ground reported the object hovering, that it must in fact be a helicopter. And so you've got Air Force personnel who were within 100 yards of the thing reporting it hovering, but they couldn't identify it as a helicopter. It's over the weapons storage facility at Loring Air Force Base, which means it's in violation of federal regulations. The Air Force would have been justified in shooting at it, knocking it down, but none of that takes place. So when you look at the investigation, the Air Force doesn't call it UFOs or anything like that. It says unidentified helicopters who have penetrated our airspace. Yet there's no evidence that they followed up on it to find out who these guys were violating the law, which is something you would think the Air Force would do if it was a helicopter hovering over their installation. So, yeah. By looking at the files, the government...
We see that in Malmstrom.
More so at Loring, because they put out a document that's talked about the unidentified helicopters. And of course, Phil Klass and everybody says, well, it was a helicopter, and here's the report the Air Force filed on it, yet it doesn't make any sense because the lighting doesn't work. The guys were close enough to see it as a helicopter if it was. They heard no noise. The helicopter was low enough it would have been hovering at what we call ground effect, which means the air is coming down through the rotor blades and fanning out along the ground, and that kind of keeps it up, but it's also blowing up a lot of dust and debris, and there's no evidence of that either. The guys didn't talk about any of that sort of thing. So the idea that it was a low-flying helicopter is preposterous. And Klass said, well, I found these guys were flying a helicopter some 3 weeks afterwards in a location 120 miles away. Well, yeah, that explains the case then, Phil. that was where the skeptics went. Well, it was a helicopter, they said so, and we're done with it. That's what the Air Force explanation was. Well, it clearly was not.
Well, a lot of it also is the noise factor. You can't have the silent helicopter, as you mentioned before. The book is called The Government UFO Files, and the guy responsible is Kevin D. Randall, and so much more to come. I'm Gene Steinberg with Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Gene and Chris on the Paracast. Kevin Randall rejoins us. We're always happy to have him back. He's got so much important to say. Now, earlier we were talking about...
Can I interrupt for just a minute? Because you mentioned Nick Redfern writing a lot of UFO books.
Yeah.
I will tell you, the leader of publishing UFO books is either Brad Steiger or me. And Brad Steiger and I talk about this. We're not sure who it is. But we lead at the moment with Nick Redfern making a real run to catch up.
Well, he figures that he's younger than you guys. So he figures.
I think Brad Steiger's like 107.
I think he's 112 now. I haven't talked to him much lately, but I think he's 112. And he's done, what, 165 books overall?
Some big number, but I remember reading one of his first books, Strangers from the Skies, when I was in high school.
Yeah, yeah.
So the guy's been writing UFO books since we were all kids.
50 years.
Yes, yes.
And then there's guys like me that write 600-page books. It could be four of Nick's.
Well, there is that, too, and the Government Files book is pretty thick. It's much longer than, I think, one of Nick's books. Which is not to say I don't enjoy Nick's books. I probably ought to plug Nick's books while I'm at it, you know. I guess I read them, too, so.
Well, he'll be on the show in 2 weeks, so you might as well.
Yeah.
But your book is...
Encounters of the Fatal Kind is very good, too.
But your book is 354 pages plus cover. It's a larger size than the normal book, a large trade paperback.
Yes.
And your text is pretty small.
Yes, so I have to read it with magnifying glass, being old and decrepit. No, I just made that up.
Okay. Well, now what's happened, of course, because we were talking about the blogosphere and about how people involved in UFO research are constantly attacked. And we figure now they'll think of that attack that you just created for yourself. They'll take your words out of context. Well, let's go back to...
Which words are they going to attack me for now, for crying in a bucket?
I don't know.
Whatever
you say.
I said Nick Redfern writes a lot of books, and I read them myself. He ought to be happy with that, and the blogosphere can have at it, I guess.
Oh, no. Now, boys, let's not get started here.
All in good fun. Let's go back to the black helicopters.
Okay.
So how did that thing get started? Is there a beginning of that black helicopter legend?
I blame Chris O'Brien. How's that? with the cattle mutilations in the 70s, they started with the helicopters.
Well, I blame Jim Keith for writing the first book. Black Helicopters Over America is the first book to my knowledge.
Good, there we go. Well, back in the olden days when I was flying for the Iowa National Guard in the early 1970s, and there was a lot of cattle rustling going on, and we were a group, we had a formation of helicopters, and I forget what we were doing, and somebody called over the radio and says, you're not going to believe this, but we're taking fire. And, I mean, we were all Vietnam veterans, so we were used to that, and it was some farmer down there with a shotgun shooting at us because he thought we were trying to rustle cattle. And I said, well, we should return fire for fire received because we were flying gunships. Of course, we didn't have the guns and we didn't have any ammunition, so we couldn't return fire. But I thought that would be kind of fun.
Well, it happened. Actually, helicopters were reported firing back at ranchers, and a team on the ground in one incident actually joined in with the helicopter and started firing from a different position at the beleaguered rancher. And you mentioned Iowa in 72. I mean, you forget to mention that hundreds and hundreds of animals were being reported stolen in Russell.
Oh, yes. The ranchers were clearly, and farmers were clearly right in their paranoia about the rustling going on, because it was, in fact, going on. But I will say this unequivocally, the Iowa National Guard never fired back at the ranchers.
Well, yeah, and I would expect that that would be the case. But you were flying at a little higher altitude for a while.
In Vietnam, we usually flew at 1,500 feet, which was basically 1,500 feet AGL above the ground, which was in small arms range, just outside of small arms range, but inside 50 caliber range. That was normally where we flew in between point A and point B, but if we were doing other stuff, we were getting much closer to the ground, too. So sometimes speed and terrain masking helped us out.
Yeah, it's tough to hide in Iowa.
It's not clearly, nearly as flat as you might think, and it's certainly not as bad as Nebraska.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Driving Interstate 80 across Nebraska someday.
Yeah, I've done it many times, and it takes half a day.
And it's really, really boring.
Especially back in the 80s when the speed limit was 55.
And you didn't have satellite radio, so that you had to keep searching for radio stations to listen to.
Well, now that's why we had satellite radio for the truck drivers and the people driving across these barren desert landscapes.
Yes, yes. I won't even mention what is Interstate 70 between Grand Junction and Interstate 15 across Utah.
Well, it's been years since I hit the interstates in the Midwest. Let's move to other topics here.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that.
Okay, no more black helicopters. Ladies and gentlemen, there are no black helicopters except the one that I see right now flying above my head. No, that's the ceiling, excuse me. But I got to fix those holes in the ceiling, you know. All right. Anyway, there's a piece you have over at your world famous blog, A Different Perspective, called MJ-12, The Beginning. And you're referring here to an Open Minds article analyzing MJ-12. And this has been one of those lingering controversies from the 1980s that never dies, that there was a secret agency called MJ-12 involved in connection with UFOs. We have these documents unearthed by William Moore and others regarding MJ-12. So what insights can you offer looking back at that in the 21st century?
Well, it's interesting you should mention that blog post because I put it up like an hour and a half ago.
You see how fast we are here. We have a team of researchers called RSS. You know what that is. Go ahead.
Anyway, Alejandro Rojas had done a piece by attempting to FOIA information about MJ-12. From the Air Force and various government agencies. And he was attempting to trace the beginnings, as some people may not have understood how it came about or what was going on. Some of the things that he mentioned in the piece were little known facts about the Eisenhower briefing document, Richard Doty's role in it, his connection to Bill Moore, the attempts to push some of this information on Linda Moulton Howe, the attempts to push some of the information on Benowitz, who was a scientist living in the Albuquerque area at the time, who thought he was recording messages from outer space. Although I think the idea now is that he'd actually tapped into some kind of low frequency communications between various government agencies, military organizations, and so they were attempting to lead him astray in that, at least according to Doty. So Alejandros, in his article, looks at all of that sort of thing, and bringing all of that sort of into perspective for those who may not have been that keyed into what the beginnings of MJ-12. And what I did was I just added a couple of points I thought were important, one of which was Bill Moore saying to a number of researchers in 1980, 1981, that he'd run into this roadblock, this blank wall he couldn't break through on his Roswell research, and he was thinking about creating some kind of a Roswell document that would help him. The idea being, I guess, showing it to some reluctant witnesses to show that, yeah, we have this information, what do you make of it, or convincing other people to talk. And lo and behold, not too long after that, his friend Jamie Shandera receives the MJ-12 documents on undeveloped 35 millimeter film. And the other thing that I found, you know, Friedman told me that while we were in California. He now denies he said it, but there were other people who heard that story from more, you know, bouncing the idea off them. So it's just not me saying that without any kind of corroborative evidence. That story is out there, and I put a couple of links up to other articles that mention the same sort of thing. One, unfortunately, linking to Phil Klass, which I hesitated to put up, but it just shows that information coming from other researchers as well.
Let's do the break here, and we'll continue.
Okay.
With MJ-12. Kevin Randall with Gene and with Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
We are America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hey everyone, have you heard about the no-no hair removal device that's sweeping the globe? If you want to go weeks without shaving and get smooth, professional, quality results, here's our favorite host, Cheryl, for no-no hair removal.
Thanks. Hey gals, I love talking about my no-no. It's this cute little hair removal system that you can take with you and use almost anywhere at home or on the road. No more expensive in-office treatments, painful waxing, and no more wasting your valuable time. Got unwanted facial hair? No-no has patented Thermacon technology that works on all hair and skin colors, so it's perfect for using on all body parts. And now you can take advantage of this incredible risk-free trial. Get the No-No, the facial kit, a travel case, and a $100 discount shopping card, and you don't risk a penny to try it. Try the incredible No-No hair completely risk-free. Call 1-800-953-6062. That's 800-953-6062. 800-953-6062.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from Pro Flowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care. Chiropractic done right.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
Chris is now trying to sound like a roll of film, 35mm film from the 1980s. Film, boy, those were the days. Kevin Randall is reacquainting us with the legend of MJ-12 that never goes away. Continue, please.
And I certainly wish it would. I think it should be a footnote to the history of UFOs, and we should move on from that. The other thing that's interesting is the story originally was broken by Timothy Good in Great Britain, and he had the documents. He went to a newspaper there, and they published them, and they show up in his book, Above Top Secret, which I think was a copyright date of 1988. But on the copies that he prints in his book, there's this chevron-like marking, three stripes, that floats on the pages. It shows up in various places on the pages, which suggest it's an artifact created by that specific copy machine as opposed to something that was on the original film. And interestingly enough, that same chevron shows up in copies that Bill Moore had. So Bill Moore's got the original documents, so he doesn't need a Xerox copy, but it's clear that the Xerox copies that Good had came from Moore, because Moore's copies, Xerox copies, have that same artifact in different locations. So it's a floating artifact. It's obviously from that specific copy, or it's a fingerprint. So we can trace all the MJ-12 documents back to Bill Moore, including those that Timothy Good had. So I mentioned that as sort of I guess additional information that Antonios Rojas had produced in his 30-minute piece on YouTube about MJ-12 in the beginning. So we can look at this, and we see that it all relates back to Bill Moore and Jamie Chandra. And in fact, there was a document called the Aquarius Telex, and I think Antonio mentions this as well, which mentions MJ-12 on it. But what we learn by looking at that is it is a retyped version of an authentic document that came from the OSI. And Bill Moore admitted to Dick Hall that he retyped it. He said the copy he had was so poor you couldn't read it. So what he did was he retyped it and pasted on the headings so it would have the look of an official document. So we can trace a fake document, the Aquarius Telex, back to Bill Moore. And when I queried both Stan Friedman and Ryan Wood about the Aquarius Telex, they never answered my questions about it. I said, Friedman said that he doesn't even mention it in his book. And I'm thinking, here's the first document that ever was released into a public arena that mentions MJ-12, and it's a known hoax and it's an admitted hoax, but we just sort of ignore that that whole thing.
Okay, well, there's an obvious implication here. And let me just drop it by you, which is that if these things are fake, William Moore had some connection with that?
I think the evidence is becoming overwhelming that Bill Moore had some kind of connection with that. Bill Moore committed ufological suicide in 1989 at a conference in Las Vegas where he suggested he'd been working as part of a disinformation campaign to leak false information into the UFO community. And from that point on, he's been pretty well a pariah in the UFO field. But he also talks about, there's good evidence from Barry Greenwood and Brad Sparks, that Moore, working with Bob Pratt, and Bob Pratt being an innocent bystander in this, were producing a book in 1980 that mentions MJ-12, that mentions this whole sort of thing. It was called, and the original title was Project Aquarius. So this is like 4 years before the documents show up in Jamie Sandera's mailbox, but it's Moore talking about this whole sort of thing using the same sort of terminology. The dating format goes right back to Bill Moore because it's an unusual dating format, but it shows up in the MJ-12 document. So I think it all links back to Bill Moore pretty clearly as the guy who created the documents and created them because he thought it was a good idea at the time.
A good idea at the time. Maybe he thought he was bringing out his inner Gray Barker and Jim Moseley.
I don't know what. I can kind of understand it if you're trying to convince reluctant witnesses to talk to you and you have a document that pretty well tells the story that they might be more willing to speak about these secrets. Although those of us who are clever enough would know that wouldn't work on some people, but it would work on others.
You're being a little too kind there.
Well, when I was doing some research into the Washington Nationals, I think it was Al Chop, who was the Air Force liaison civilian public affairs guy in the Pentagon in 1952, was telling me about the Washington Nationals and that one of the sightings had gotten pretty hairy. And I said, well, can you tell me about it? He said, I really can't. Well, Dewey Fournay, who was running the UFO desk in the Pentagon at the time, was in the same room with Chop when this all took place. So I was talking to Dewey Fournay, and I said, well, you know, I was talking to Al Chop, and he talked about this one sighting that got pretty hairy, and Fournay told me all about it, because I had that one little piece of evidence or information I could share with him. You know, Al Chop told me that one of the sightings got pretty hairy, and Dewey Fournay thought I knew everything, so he was just confirming the information. So, you know, that sort of thing works. But creating a false document, what you end up risking is when it is exposed as being fraudulent, you've pretty well negated all the research that you've done up to that point, especially if you're the creator. If you've fallen for the document, not quite as deadly as having created the document yourself.
What bothers me also here is people like Stanton Friedman, who should know better, is still maintaining that at least some of these MJ-12 documents are genuine. Or has he changed?
No. And I pointed out to him that I think there's a fatal flaw in the Eisenhower briefing document. It's this alleged crash that took place on December 6, 1950, according to the MJ-12 document. And it's based on the testimony of a guy who claimed to be an Air Force colonel and a fighter pilot. And I discovered the guy was probably not in the Air Force, was not a fighter pilot. His military experience was as a low-ranking enlisted man for about 13 months in the late 40s, but his military career was mainly made up of being in the Civil Air Patrol, which is a civilian organization. And so if that paragraph is bogus, based on this story that was made up in 1968, you've now negated the entire Eisenhower briefing document, because clearly it was something created long after 1952, when it was supposedly written. It was created sometime after 1968 when this guy started telling this bogus tale. The point was, Stan said to me I was probably right about the guy, but I was wrong about the MJ-12 document.
This is never going to end. I mean, you can't give a good hoax down. This is part of the problem in the UFO field and why so many people call it toxic, which is that when you take a piece of information and you demonstrate for once and for all that piece of information has no reality to it. It's a fake. It's a composite, whatever. It never disappears. I was joking, for example, in the first part of the show before you came on, that there's a composite picture of me online. Somebody took my face and manipulated it. It didn't make me look bad. You know, maybe it looks better. Some people might think so. And because I don't wear a suit, they had me wearing a suit. They put a suit on me in Photoshop. Now, that picture will never be taken down. It's an obvious fake. And I could say to Google or anyone, hey, this is a fake picture of me, take it down. They're not going to do it.
Well, even if they, even let's say Google says, okay, it's fake, we're going to take it down, somebody else is going to post it somewhere else. And anytime you suggest someone's favorite case might be bogus, MJ-12, for example, suddenly you're not a researcher, you're a debunker.
Right.
let's splash that mud all over. You're a debunker, therefore I'm not going to listen to anything you say, no matter what evidence you present showing that your analysis is accurate, you're a debunker. And there's one guy that chases me on Amazon, and no matter what book I publish, he always puts up a negative review. It does it one star and a negative review, and it's clear he's reacting to two words, which is Kevin Randall on the book. He hasn't read the book. Apparently, I've offended him, and he believes that I'm nothing but a debunker. And so he always puts that in the reviews of the books. So, you know, there's really nothing you can do. And the other thing about the reviews on Amazon that cracked me up, they're anonymous. You don't have to put your name. You can create a fake name. And so I can say anything I want about anybody, and there's nothing you can do about it because I'm hidden behind this anonymous name I created.
Yes, but Amazon knows the name, and if you complain to Amazon, they will sometimes take it down. I've seen some really offensive reviews for some things I've written, and it's obvious it's a personal attack. They'll take it down because it's not fair to you or to anybody. If somebody wants to buy a copy of a book and get a sense of it, like Chris wrote the book Stalking the Herd, and most people like it. I think he had only one negative review out of all of it, which is amazing because in this crazy world, in this polarized world, there are lots of different opinions. But some of these reviews, it is a game. And sometimes you can get them to take down the fake ones. Kevin Randall is talking about the government UFO files and other stuff with Gene and Chris in
The Paracast.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Henry Ford once said, a man who stops advertising to save money is like a man who stops a clock to save time. Alex Castle here, the National Account Executive at GCN. I have the ability to customize a national radio campaign based on your budget while targeting your demographic. Contact me to find out how national radio can help your business be more profitable at 877-996-4327, extension 177. That's 877-996-4327, extension 177, and help me help you bring your business to the next level.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Spring time is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know spring is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for spring specials, including our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia and Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Warwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for spring at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and click on Spring Specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy.